All right, guys, this is Colt Barber here with the Action Hodge and Brian Etheridge. We're actually 1 year today since firing to Art Briles and kind of the apocalypse of Taylor football in a way. It's just been a crazy 365 days, and we're really looking forward to Matt Rhule and what he's going to bring to this football program. And, guys, I appreciate you coming on with me to discuss this. I know it's been a crazy time, and especially in our industry and what we're doing with the website on Sikkim 365. We've started this back at the end of August, beginning of September, right before football season, and we've seen Jim Grobe come in as the interim coach, and now Matt Rhule was hired back in December. We've seen one recruiting class. We've seen another one get underway, and now he's making his rounds before the summer workouts begin. But I mean, in y'all's perspective, and Ashley, I'll start with you. You were just there in Dallas today, speaking or hearing Matt Rhule speak and hearing Grant Taft speak. And what was your impression from today, and kind of where this program's going, and how did these guys inside the athletic department feel right now?
Well, Colt, Brian, good to be on with you guys. I know we talk a lot on the phone, but this is the first time we've done a podcast together. And yes, I was in Fort Worth today, and I heard Grant Taft and Mac Rhodes and Matt Rhule speak. And Grant Taft really started the day off right because he gave a really passionate speech about how, you know, Baylor Nation has certainly been bruised and damaged psychologically, emotionally by the news that's happened, you know, for the last year. And you know, obviously a lot of compassion for the people that have been hurt, and we want these things to never take place on the Baylor campus again. And so Grant Taft really just talked about how, you know, we need to take this setback and turn it into a comeback. And he told a great story of his 1980 team, which he thought had a really good chance to win the national championship. They started off the season undefeated. I think they were 3-0 headed into San Jose State. And just through some fluke things that happened at the end of the game, San Jose State ended up winning that game. And he said his team was very crushed emotionally by that loss. And so the whole next week of practice, they were hanging their heads, and Taft really couldn't find a way to get them out of their funk. And then they played Arkansas the next game, so they had to be ready emotionally and physically for that challenge. And so he had Kyle Woods, one of his players who was paralyzed, came on the sidelines that day, and he asked Kyle if he would speak to the team before the game. And Taft said he really didn't have any words to say. He kind of was out of motivational tricks. And so he had Kyle get in front of the team, and Kyle just said, "We need to turn a setback into a comeback." And he stood up for the first time since he had been paralyzed, and the only time in his life he didn't stand up ever again. But the team just was so emotionally charged, you know, by that determination of the will for him to do that, that they went out and they crushed Arkansas that day. And so he said, in a similar way, we need to, you know, bond together as a Baylor family and really accentuate the positive things that are happening at the school. And that was really Matt Rhule's message. Matt Rhule, you know, was very hopeful about the future and really preached the message of everything matters. You know, we're here to build men. We're here to build outstanding student athletes. And winning will be a byproduct of doing things the right way. And if we do everything the right way, we'll have a team that the fans can be proud of, and we'll have a team that can compete for championships, but certainly want to make sure that they represent the school well. And I think it really resonated. I think, as you say, Colt, as he makes the rounds and as he gets in front of the Baylor people, I think a lot of the fans are seeing how much passion and how much conviction this coaching staff has. And same as holds true for Mac Rhodes, the athletic director. And I think the future is in really good hands going forward.
Yeah, I was actually in Tyler today, and this is the first time that this trip has made their way through Tyler, and I was able to go in there. One of our members actually gave me two seats for my wife and I, and we went in, and I've heard so many different stories about Grant Taft. My dad played under Grant Taft back in the 70s, and I've heard so many different stories, you know, from Eating the Worm to all these different stories, and I get these impressions of Coach Taft, and now I'm seeing Coach Rhule. in the same way, this guy that can get up and speak and really captivate an audience, that I see so many similarities. And then you throw on top of that doing it the right way, and how Grant Taft was always known for doing it the right way. And then you see Coach Rhule and the way that he presents himself. And that's one thing that kind of getting onto the recruiting trail and fighting these battles that they're going to face on the recruiting trail and hiring the right coaches. And Brian, we off air, we discussed this a little bit, and I know you're wanting to talk about it some, but what did you see when Baylor hired Joey McGuire and Sean Bell and David Wetzel? What do you see in those guys that really kind of opened your eyes to what kind of a coach Matt Rhule really was?
I mean, that's the one thing that, you know, we knew Coach McGuire from covering Cedar Hill. I mean, you and I had been on that campus several times, Amy Padgett as well. And he was always an inviting person to us and to all the media members that covered his players. And he had an infectiousness to him. I mean, it's just a positive. I mean, just when you ran into him, if you didn't leave smiling, I mean, your dog had to have died that day. I mean, that's the kind of guy he is. I mean, and so when we found out and we, you know, broke the story of him leaving Cedar Hill, that, you know, sort of set an alarm off to me that, you know, because he turned down other schools like Texas and, you know, and for him to leave Cedar Hill, he built that school from little to nothing up to, you know, the state power they were and still are today. Him leaving, that was a huge moment. And for me, knowing him and knowing how what kind of person he was, it sort of, you know, made me think about what, you know, how Matt Rhule has to be to convince somebody like Joe McGuire to go to work for him. And then we got a text, you know, from James Sapp, who's, you know, a close friend of ours and, you know, on the staff there. It was on the staff at Cedar Hill with McGuire, as close to McGuire. And he said, you know, that Joey had mentioned that he had to take the job after he talked to Rhule. And that's almost like a calling to me, that knowing that, you know, Rhule, the way he laid it out to McGuire, McGuire didn't come in just to coach. He came in to be a leader of men. He came in to be, you know, to build young men's lives like he did at Cedar Hill. There's never a time I was ever at Cedar Hill where I had issues with a player in interviews or at practices or at games. Those kids were always yes sir, no sir, and very forthcoming and everything, and very good with their answers, and they'd been, you know, trained almost like by McGuire and his staff to be good kids, you know, to grow into good men. And the other, you know, Sean Bell, I mean, when I got started in this, I was covering Sean Bell when he was at China Spring, and I knew his dad, I knew his brother, his mom, and, you know, you know the Bells, and they're, I mean, incredible people. Sean's one of the best people you're going to know. And then when he left Cedar Ridge to come up, and we broke that article too, and how that really, you know, my hair on my arm stood up. I'm like, oh my goodness, you know, Sean Bell's coming back to Baylor. And that's sort of what he wanted to do, is, you know, come back and coach in college, but he wanted to coach at Baylor. But that's another guy who had turned in, you know, Magnolia West with a Moorbound program. He turned them around. And then Cedar Ridge wasn't really doing anything either until he got there. And then, you know, they go 10-0 his final year. But he built a culture, and he built a family culture, and built a, you know, culture where kids were, you know, they were responsible for themselves and responsible for what their actions, and, you know, a true team. And so, you know, I got to talk to both of those guys, you know, after they were hired, and you got to hear about Matt Rhule and about what Matt Rhule is about and how they were, you know, influenced by Matt Rhule. And I'm like, well, if those guys were influenced by Matt Rhule, I think he's going to be okay on the recruiting trail. I think he's going to be okay in Texas. He's going to play well to all the coaches in Texas. He's going to play well on the road in the national recruiting. He's going to play well there with Baylor's brand and Baylor's facilities and Baylor, everything Baylor offers with academics and small classes and things like that he could sell to recruits. And so once those two came on board, and then David Wetzel came on, and I didn't know David, but everyone I know from Baylor that knew him talks about how great of a guy he is as well. And so once those three came on board, you know, it sort of was a a ringing endorsement of Matt Rhule, in my opinion.
Yeah, those three guys are so impressive, and you, as you mentioned, putting those articles out there and typing up their resumes on each one of those guys as we begin to research them, it was just so impressive. And obviously just the Texas connections and Matt Rhule, I think we've kind of realized that he probably doesn't need all these Texas connections to come in and make relationships and recruit this state. But having those three guys is huge for the direction of his program. But, you know, I look back to a year ago and I think about where I was when I found out that Art Briles was fired. And I remember here in Tyler, was a nasty day. It was really drizzly outside and it was storming and thundering, and that was just an early morning shower, thunderstorm. And I get a text message that, it sounds like Coach Briles is gone, and that went against everything that we'd heard. But I guess that day, the weather, my mood after I had that, just I think back and it was almost like, the epitome of what the next year was going to be like, and kind of all the negative things that come out. But for you guys, Ashley, I'll start with you, but what was that day like for you that when you finally got that news that Coach Briles was fired, kind of in a way a relative had passed away, because somebody that had been with you for the last, 8 years, 9 years, however long it had been, is gone, and everything that he built is in question?
Yeah, I think everyone that had a stake in Baylor football felt a sense of sorrow. Certainly as more information has been revealed, we can see the justification for that firing. But the weeks leading up to that firing of Art Briles, we were led to believe that, Ken Starr could possibly get the axe, for not implementing Title IX properly, and that possibly even Ian McCaw could lose his job, because of some oversights, compliance issues. Obviously, hindsight's 50-50, as Jason Cook told me one time. We had dinner together, and he said that, and I thought it was pretty wise. That, as you look back, you can certainly see that, things a little more clearly. But as information is unfolding, you just don't have a clear picture of what's going on. So I think that everyone just felt a tremendous sense of sorrow, embarrassment, anger, questioning, was he a fall guy? Was it justified? All these questions that go through fans' minds. I'm sure we all had the same questions. But looking forward now, you can see that there was a culture that needed to be changed. Yeah, I was listening to a podcast this week about the life of Joe Ehrman, who's a football player, played for the Baltimore Colts and a few other professional teams, and he really has invested his life into coaching youth football. And the big takeaway from that podcast is he said, my job is to love these young men and to build them into outstanding characters and citizens and fathers. And I really see that Matt Rhule is taking that same approach. And I think that's sustainable. And I think, unfortunately, with big-time college athletics, too much of it is about winning. And we certainly enjoyed the swag and the aggressiveness and some of the edginess that Art Briles' teams, played with. But we were – if we look back and see through, clearer eyes now, we can see that it came with some baggage, that there was, certainly some warning signs that maybe there was not quite the discipline program that you need to have sustained success. So I think those are my thoughts right now.
Yeah, and I guess you look back and there's so many ways to point out the negative things, but right now Baylor is moving forward and is – the opportunity is there to take and run with. The Big 12, regardless of what the national media wants to say, there are some traditional powers in there, such as Texas and Oklahoma, and even you look at West Virginia and a team like Kansas State that it has been strong for several years, and then Baylor and TCU, obviously. But Baylor's going to have to reestablish themselves now. But I think with Matt Rhule in the role that he has now at Baylor, has the ability to do that and kind of continue the success. But Brian, for you, looking moving forward, what positives do you really pull out of this, out of Matt Rhule, and some of the things that, even if it's on the recruiting trail, obviously within the schemes and things like that, but what positives do you take in after this really since the early part of December. Do you pull from Matt Rhule that you see that you really like what you see moving to the future?
I mean, I'm sort of going to go back a little bit there, just talk about that day that happened. I mean, I got put in perspective real quick of what it was. I mean, and to me, it just turned out football's a game. I mean, we were taking a vacation. You talked about bad weather in East Texas, and I was driving to Houston or to Galveston with my family. My wife had already left, and she was already at the beach house we'd rented, and I was driving down with my daughter, and we got caught in that flood that killed four people in Brenham.
Yeah.
And so we got caught in the middle of that rain, and I'm getting text message. People are calling me about it, and we'd heard, from people right before that he'd been let go, and so I was just sort of in a numb state, like, you know, because everything everybody told us, all the sources we'd had, from inside the athletic department to outside the athletic department to you name it, they told us that, his job was going to be safe and everything was going to be okay. And then, boom, it happened. So you're sort of in that numb stage of this happened. We didn't, we got caught off guard with it. But there, here I am looking over here at a, at bridges, at a bridge just outside of Brenham that I'm crossing is half gone because the flood took it and, people had passed away from it. And so, by the time I got to Galveston, it took me 9 hours to get to Galveston from Dallas, and it's usually a 4.5 hour trip. And because I had to stop so many times and everything, it sort of just put into perspective that, this is a game, and we enjoy the wins, and you enjoy watching wins, but at what cost? And that's where the cost of what happened before, put it in perspective as well that, that's not the cost that anyone wants to win by. But going forward, hearing what the kids are being sold on, when we talk to recruits, when we talk to parents, about the decision their kids have made, and hearing how much, Matt Rhule goes out of his way to let them know everything that's happened, everything they've changed. So that's the one thing that, you have to take as a positive, that parents are entrusting their kids with the new staff. I mean, they didn't know Matt Rhule from Adam, coming into it. And then when they sat down, the tidal wave of commitments that Baylor started getting, that we started covering, and I thought it was going to be a little harder than that. But that's the kind of person he is. That's the kind of person – Joey McGuire is, and Sean Bell was, that David Wetzel was, and we're finding out who Fran Brown is, and Elijah Robinson and Evan Cooper, and we're hearing all these great things about all these guys and how they're leaders of men and how they are doing things the right way and how that they want to build the teenager to a man that graduates and is professional in his life. If he is in the professional football field, but they're trying to make those kids be responsible, be dedicated, be disciplined, serve the community. I mean, how many times do we see the community service out there? That was amazing for us to watch that. I mean, Baylor is known as, for stepping out in the community and going out and serving the community. But you never really saw a football team do that. I mean, you saw the baseball team go to Louisiana with the softball team. They went out there when it flooded, and they took care of people's homes in another state, on their off week. That's amazing for them to do that. You always see it on Instagram or Twitter, the other teams, but you never really saw football a whole lot. Yeah. And this year, I think they did more community service in the fall semester, or in the spring semester, they probably had done the previous 2 or 3 years.
Yeah, and two things.
And it seemed like they were enjoying it.
Yeah, and two things that Matt Rhule said during his tour, and if you've gone to it, then you've heard it, and if you haven't, then you'll hear this, but obviously you've seen the GPA was the highest that they've ever had by more than a quarter of a point. in the history of the football program. And then they've done this semester, as you alluded to, Brian, they've done over 700 hours of community service. But getting back to the recruiting a little bit, one thing that Matt Rhule told this story during his tour, and I heard it here in Tyler, but it was the recruitment of Tyler Henderson, a tight end, and he was committed to Oklahoma State at the time, and him and his mom came in and took an official visit, or it might have been an unofficial visit. I can't remember right now what it was. It was in the middle of the week, and the mom said, "I want my son to go in and sit in a class," because as Matt Rhule described, was a lot of schools are saying if you go there, the students and the faculty don't like football players because of everything that's happened. And they said, "We want to see how it is. We want to go and experience that." So they got it set up, and to make a long story short, the professor stopped class, and there was nothing that Matt Rhule said to them to prompt this. It just happened. And each student said, "This is why I'm at Baylor, and this is what I love about Baylor." And that Tyler Henderson got a firsthand experience of what each of those students saw in football players, what they saw about the campus, what they saw about the university. And I think the fact that he did that, and not that it wouldn't have happened at another time, but Matt Rhule took that opportunity to take him to a class and teach him about what Baylor really is. And he's going to take those extra efforts. And one of the things that we heard whenever he was hired is that he's going to go the extra step, to go the extra mile in recruiting. And that's exactly what we saw. But you know, and Ashley, I'll reach out to you on this one. I just asked Brian this question, but for you, what do you see positive that you can take away from everything that's happened in the past year, or really longer than that, with Matt Rhule, with Mac Rhodes? What one thing stands out to you about where this football program's going right now?
Well, I mean, if you look at where the football program stood in the summer of 2016, I mean, I think that many of us, even those with an optimistic bent, were, you know, thinking 3 to 4 year rebuild. I mean, this roster's been decimated, and then, you know, you think about how many people got kicked off the team, how many of those incoming freshmen were allowed, you know, the better ones, the ones that were more highly thought of, I guess, we're allowed to get out of their commitments to Baylor, and many of them, you know, took off to Texas. You know, it's amazing what Matt Rhule has done. You know, as Brian was talking, I was just thinking, you know, the recruiting was incredible, you know, that he came in with one commitment and put together such a great class for this, you know, 2017 class. And then obviously, you know, some of the services have the 2018 class already ranked in the top 10, you know, top 15, that range. But I think it's even more incredible what he did with the remaining players, because, I mean, you and I mean, we all three of us were hearing rumors of, you know, most of the good players transferring out. You know, the starters were all, you know, lots of rumors about how they were getting contacted by, you know, many schools and, you know, behind the scenes, and that there was a lot of, you know, scuttle that they were going to transfer, you know, right away at the semester break. And he held it all together. You know, Mac Rhodes certainly, I think, was a big part of that, because he was able to, you know, tell the team, "Hey, we got a coach coming. Just give him a chance. And, you know, for him to keep, you know, the nucleus of the team together without a lot of loss, you know, that says a lot about who he is and what a great you know, salesperson he is, but a salesperson with substance. You know, he goes in there and he shares a vision, and people buy into it because they see it's real, and they see that, you know, there's substance behind it. He's got a track record of, you know, I think he mentioned today at the lunch that, there's, 15, I think he said 15 guys from Temple in the NFL right now. And not one of them had a Power Five offer of all those players that are playing in the NFL right now. So, I mean, it's pretty incredible that what he's been able to do at Temple, and certainly, you know, he's been able to sell that vision and that track record to these football players and future football players at Baylor.
Yeah, absolutely. I mean, you consider that, you look at the first rounder, and I think they had a second rounder and a fifth rounder. The Temple did drafted this year, and they won 10 games in back-to-back years. And I guess that transitioned me into what will be our last question, or your last thought. But Matt Rhule has done a great job winning over the fans. For one, I think he did that in his introductory press conference. He's obviously won over recruits. He's gone through a one spring workouts or spring practice in a spring game. And now all that he really has is an off-season or summer conditioning program, and then he plays his first game, and those are the final steps. So in your mind, what do you see? We're moving from what will probably be the Art Briles once-in-a-millennium type offense, and that you're still seeing with Philip Montgomery, but it's his offense, and now you're changing directions. You're going to more of a defensive-minded coach. That's gonna do some offense, up-tempo offense. But I guess in 30 seconds or less, what do you expect to see, Brian, from this offense and from the defense in 2017?
I mean, I think that the offense isn't going to – I mean, it will change. I mean, we know it's changing. It's changing more to an Oregon-style run. But there's still the up-tempo. There's still the passing game. I mean, we saw that in the spring game. And, you know, we saw a little bit of that, you know, behind the scenes, you know, from some of the footage that Sean was taking, you know, during the 20 minutes he was allowed to film or the 10 minutes he was allowed to film for us when we were doing the views from the Brazos. I mean, you could see they're going to spread it around. I mean, you got Zach Smith out there. He's got a strong arm. He's going to spread it around. You know, a new Solomon knows how to spread it around. Came out of a spread, and Charlie Brewer came out of a spread. So, you know, the people who were worried about 3 yards in a cloud of dust, I mean, I think that one's not going to be the case, but you definitely see the attention to detail in the differences between this staff and the old staff. And that's the one thing that I first noticed was the coaching that was going on the field and the responsibility they're putting in the kids, you know, in making sure that, you know, this step, you know, this foot, use this hand. And you can hear that in the background on those videos, the coaching going on. And for anybody that follows the sport, you know, the technique can overrule and overpower, you know, athleticism. And that's the one thing that you could hear that being drilled into the players' heads over and over and over again. And if it wasn't done right, they were correcting it right there. It wasn't by doing by reps. It was by, we're going to correct it right now, and we're going to stop it and start it and go forward, and you're going to do it right the next time. And watching that happen, you know, on video, hearing that in the background, that was something that, you know, has to excite anybody. But again, you know, sort of going back to the offense a little bit, I mean, you're going to have the ball passed around a lot. It's, you know, you're going to have some splits. You're going to have some plays that people are familiar with out there. I just don't think it's going to be quite as fast. But I do think that when they're ready to go up tempo, if they need to go up tempo, they're going to be able to. And that's going to be interesting to watch how the games are called. You know, the first game against Liberty, I don't think we'll see much of that. But UTSA could be a little testy, and so that could be a game you see a little bit more. And then Duke, I think they'll open it up a little on Duke before they play Oklahoma.
Baylor fans are just going to get used to the way warp speed that Baylor went previously is kind of a thing of the past, and not a lot of schools see that anyways. You know, that Baylor was one of the few that really went that fast all the time, so it's going to take some use to getting used to. But Ashley, for you, what's your expectations for the season? What are you excited about seeing from this offense and from this defense and everything that Matt Rhule's bringing to the table this season?
Well, you know, I think the first thing is that Matt Rhule has said this. He believes that he's got tremendous speed on this team. He said that, in fact, today in Fort Worth, he said that he had more speed on this team than they had at the New York Giants when he was coaching for the New York Giants. So I think he's going to really find a way to utilize that speed. And you know, I think the thing that I'm looking for the most is, you know, Art Briles, on the field, they got results. I mean, there's no question. The offense was exciting, explosive, prolific. But I think the thing that we all saw was the penalties, sometimes discipline issues, you know, lots of, unsportsmanlike penalties. And I think that's going to change. I think you're going to see more of a, Bill Snyder or a Stanford, type of attention to detail Maybe Michigan State would be, you know, another good example. We're going to see us, you know, not beat ourselves as much as we may have done in the past. And so I think that, you know, once there's leads, if we're able to get up 21 on some teams, I think that that's going to be, you're going to see, you know, much more of a deliberate, disciplined approach, you know, to finishing out games. So that's what I'm looking for the most, is just an attention to detail.
That's something I was talking about too with somebody offline. Was, you know, if you win 30-10, isn't that the same thing as winning 60-40?
Sure.
And that's not really a, you know, the point differential is the same. You don't get all the touchdowns, but you also don't have the worry of giving up 60 or 70 yourself, or 50, or, you know, I mean, the Cotton Bowl should be still fresh in everybody's head watching, you know, Connor Cook go down the field on Baylor, and when Baylor should have walked away at that game, but for some reason, things changed, momentum switch shifted, and here they came. But that's something that I don't think you'll see in a Matt Rhule team. That I think that they're going to be really gritty on defense, and there's plenty of athletes on the defense right now that can play, and it's going to be fun to watch those guys.
Yeah, and the one I had to give credit to a member, and I can't remember which member it was, but the first thing that this specific member was told, that if you're an NBA fan, that Matt Rhule kind of reminds you of Greg Popovich in the way that he controls the tempo. If he wants to go up tempo, he's going to go up tempo. If he wants to slow it down, he's going to slow it down. And that allows him to, if he wants to run from an I formation when they're up 21 points, and that's what he's going to do, and he's going to kill the clock, and there's no opportunity for the other team to come back. And if he needs to speed it up and run his two-minute drill in the second quarter, he's going to be able to do that. And I think it's just going to be a change of pace and the type of offense and the style across the board. If it's even in special teams, I think you'll see a big difference. And I know that we all have our opinions on what this offense will look like. Ashley, you mentioned Stanford, but the one offense that I'm really interested in looking at, and obviously Matt Lubick went there, but it's Washington. And Matt Lubick was there in Waco for a little while, and then he left. And I know Baylor fans have a sour taste about him in their mouth, but that offense was multiple. And if you look back to Boise State when Chris Peterson was there at Boise State, now that he's at Washington, and they were just in the playoffs this year with a similar offense. And I think that Baylor will be something similar to them. That's just purely speculation on my part, but I think a lot of the stuff that they'll begin to show on tape and to show on film in different games, once they get in live game situations, is going to be pretty similar to that. And if you can get you to the Final Four or the playoffs in college football, then they're doing something right. And I definitely think that Baylor has the ability to recruit the same caliber athletes on both sides of the ball as Washington does. But guys, I really appreciate you coming on with me. I know that we need to do this a little bit more often, and I appreciate all these members listening to us. And any final words from either one of you guys?
Oh, I think the future's bright. And I think that Art Briles, you know, said it best: the past is last. We got to look to the future. Can't change anything about the past. I mentioned this on the board, but I'm, you know, in the finance business, there's an old saying that there's a lot of crooks in bull markets. You just don't discover them until there's bear markets. And I think we're seeing a lot of that right now. You know, we're going to continue to probably have some bad headlines over the next year, but it's probably going to be from a period of, you know, 2009 to 2013, and we can't do anything about that as Baylor fans. So we can just look to the future, support the current athletic administration and the players who didn't have anything to do with this, and just put our, you know, support behind them, and not only from a, you know, just an encouragement standpoint, but also in every way, just support the teams.
Yeah, I'd agree with Ashley on that. You know, they support the team, and you know, one thing that I think our members need to do is, you know, go to Gary Simpson and buy that trip to Duke and show the team how much everybody cares. I mean, Gary got 60 rooms and flights for everybody on our behalf to go out there, and you know, that's a once in a lifetime trip. And you know, if you go to Pinehurst, you know, the 2 days after, that's even a more of a once-in-a-lifetime trip to try to make out there. And it's something that Baylor fans need to do is travel.
Yeah, there's no question about that. And I appreciate you guys coming on. I also appreciate Donald Wright of the Wright House Realty Group. He's been a lead sponsor for us from day one. And without him, this would have been a lot tougher road to make, and I really appreciate Donald stepping out and doing that for us, and as long as all of our other sponsors. But, guys, I really appreciate it, and I look forward to next time.